As surfers, we have a natural love for the ocean, being in the water and chasing thrills. Surfing and surf culture is at the core of Loose. We are a brand made for all-day thrill seekers, experience makers, and good time chasers. Inspired by the elements of surf that excite us the most, we create products begging for adventure, both into the water and out of the water. There's no stamp of approval needed to vibe with our tribe. So drop your inhibitions and get loose, because fun feels better. Loose towels.
Since 1991, Caballero Pools and Spas has been dedicated to creating an outdoor living space that will provide endless hours of fun and entertainment for your entire family. They specialize in offering excellent service and delivering top quality craftsmanship at a reasonable price. They will transform your yard into something unique and distinctive, a customized masterpiece that reflects your individual preferences. Their experience will ensure that your new backyard is something you will be proud of for years to come. Whether it's a minor project or a large master plan, Caballero Pools and Spas will help you get there. Check them out at cabpools.com or reach them at mark@cabpools.com or call 714-309-2890.
This episode is brought to you by our friends at Neon Wave. Neon Wave is an internationally local shop, a concierge to the modern nomad. They bring together carefully chosen surf, fashion, art, and snowboarding gear with a curatorial eye that's drawn to the best of the best, technicality, creativity, and sustainability. Their team is born from nature, raised by the wave, and nurtured by the culture they support. This is Neon Wave. We look forward to moving forward. Check them out at thisisneonwave.com. EarthPack, customized eco-friendly retail and e-com packaging since 1989. In a time of increasing environmental awareness, EarthPack is an advanced supplier of affordable recycled packaging for businesses of all sizes. EarthPack provides custom products and services and continues promoting sustainability while fulfilling the individual packaging needs of eco-friendly retailers nationwide. Check them out at earthpack.com.
Finless Skateboard Company. To honor our predecessors of surf shapers, we wanted to make sure that our skateboards were completely handmade, made of solid wood, and that the designs, the line work, and aesthetics of our boards are unique to each deck we create. No heat transfers, no stickers, except for our logo. The whole board is made of carefully assembled different species of wood with cores of hard maple and top and bottom sheets carefully assembled with various types of wood species to give our boards the look of a classic 1950s surfboard. Handcrafted is human, handcrafted is thoughtful, handcrafted is quality, handcrafted is community. Finless Skateboard Company.
Friends and family, brothers and sisters, welcome to the Late Night with Chalky. Chalky podcast.
This is a chalky episode. So we've
everyone's been asking for it.
Yeah, everyone wants to hear Chalky's story. So we've done JLAR a couple episodes. If you haven't listened to them, go back to them and check them out. But throughout the 4 years, 5 years we've been doing this, we drop a lot of like stories amongst childhood and bringing up and kind of how we got our start and stuff. And you know, you talked about growing up in Long Beach and working at, you know, with the Staples and Bullet and getting your head start. But let's
dive into it.
Let's dive into it, Chalky.
All right. I was born in the Philippines.
Yeah. Dropping my water.
Came here when I was like six. The youngest of four.
What was the reasoning for moving to America? Do you have other family here? Like extended family?
We pretty much, we might have had aunts and uncles like living in other parts of the country.
Okay.
My uncle Junior, I think he was like in the Midwest.
Yeah.
He might have been the first out of our, you know, it's my mom's brother.
Yeah.
And I think he made it out to the U.S. and then my mom came first. Then it was my sister and I, and then my brother and other sister, and then my dad. So,
because usually I,
every other year, like that's kind of how it came, we came over.
Yeah, I heard the process is crazy, but usually get sponsored that helps having a family member, and they kind of sponsor you. And then, of course, the vetting or the, you know, it just takes time for paperwork. And
all not anymore.
But... No, but yeah, not anymore. You just walk across now.
But yeah, we had to fly across the Pacific Ocean.
So do you remember like
going up there?
Yeah, like a little bit, like school to school.
Yeah. It was weird because everyone asks, like, do you still speak the language? And honestly, I probably spoke it a little bit, but we spoke English pretty much from what I can remember. We learned English in school.
Yeah.
I think I went kindergarten.
Maybe.
And then first grade was here.
Wow.
So, but I remember the Philippines, and we lived with my aunt and uncle. And they were kind of not wealthy, but wealthy for the Philippines because he was in the military. And I lived there for I don't even know, like maybe a couple years. And then finally moved over here. But it was tropical there. We weren't by the ocean or anything and didn't know about surfing that early.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, Jeeps. You know, you see those Jeeps and... fancy Jeeps and shit. And like, it was cool, but I'm glad I came here.
Yeah, for sure.
So I first, like, you know, going straight into it, first grade, second grade, and then started hearing about skateboarding and seeing skateboarding. And I can't really remember what... how I got introduced to it.
Like people down the street or you just like saw Mag at the boat?
So going back to, we lived in Hawthorne and then we moved all over the place. Linwood, freaking in the ghetto of Linwood. Like we lived in like this crazy apartment and next door was like, I think they were doing that eminent domain, you know?
And for the 105 freeway and stuff back then? Yeah.
And some of those, there's an apartment and then rubble next to it. Like, you know, all torn down buildings and shit.
Yeah.
But we settled. We lived in like Cerritos, Artesia. That's I kind of remember that. And lived there up till like... almost fifth grade.
So you hopped around at different schools for different the first schools, few years.
Yeah. In Hawthorne and LA, you know. And one thing that my mom, she was she's crazy. She's still alive. She's 99.
She's killer.
But she thought it was a good idea for me to go to Chinese school.
What?
On top of going to regular elementary school.
Wow.
And I feel bad for my older sister, Gigi. She used to have to take me to Chinese school after school, right?
Yeah.
And it was gnarly, dude. When we lived in Hawthorne, the Chinese school was in LA, somewhere downtown Chinatown.
Yeah.
And we would take the bus from Hawthorne and take it all the way to downtown LA.
Wow.
And get home at like, I think we'd get home at like 10.
Wow.
You know, my poor sister would have to like...
tag along, make sure you're okay.
I don't even know what she did like during school.
That's weird that you were the only one that had to go and not your sister.
Yeah. It was... my mom was like, yeah, you know, got to keep you guys busy, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what that was. But anyways, lived in Hawthorne, Linwood for a little bit, and then ended up in Artesia. And I think that's when I first... my first skateboard was this, I think it was called California Surfer.
Hmm.
And my ex-brother-in-law, Gigi's boyfriend, brought me home a skateboard. Surprised me with like this plastic freaking banana board.
Yeah.
It was a
Kicktail, you know, it's just those little mini, almost like the penny.
It was a penny.
The original penny.
Yeah.
It
was a penny skateboard. I don't even know if it had a kicktail.
I think I remember mine did because it would skid so well on the tail, you know, because it would just glide.
Yeah.
We were definitely using them.
Yeah. So then up to third or fourth grade, I think fourth grade, we lived in Artesia.
Yeah.
And then boom, we bought a house. My parents saved money, bought a house in Long Beach. And that's where I spent my elementary, junior high, and high school days.
So within like 5 years of settling, you moving around, your parents working, you know, like what kind of jobs? Because in 5 years to, you know, get a down payment for a house and stuff, they must have been
doing okay. Yeah, my mom was a doctor and a professor in the Philippines.
Hmm.
And she just felt too old to, and she's wasn't the most outgoing person. Like, she didn't, she worked at clinics and stuff, like doctor's offices, but never got her license.
Hmm.
And then eventually she started, I don't know where or how, but she started teaching anatomy and physiology.
Yeah.
And then that's when she started making decent money finally. And she taught at chiropractic colleges where I've met so many freaking like of her students that used to, over the years, come to the...
We gotta leave at 7.
...shop and stuff. But anyways, yeah, so skateboarding was my first kind of like introduction to this world,
right? Yeah.
The world what we love. But yeah, then when we moved to Long Beach, there was way more skateboarders. And then like skateboarding was the thing in 5th, 6th grade. And that's when I like kind of started realizing brands too. Vans.
Because they...
The cool kids wore Vans.
Well, that and the skater kind of crew hung together just like any other, like, you know, group at school, you know? Yeah. And those guys definitely had like the trend.
Yeah.
You know, the cool stuff. Like you said, Vans. Maybe some like, you know, jean corduroy shorts or whatever.
Yeah. So that's when I started, you know, being a skateboarder, seeing Skateboarder magazine, and then started seeing surfer magazines, because there's that's where I start seeing like and hearing about surfers, right?
Did you see it at the, you know, the supermarket was the aisle of the magazines?
Yeah. Once I saw skateboarding, I quickly started seeing surfing too.
Yeah.
But skateboarding from 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th grade was my shit. Like, yeah. Skateboarding was what I did. And at that time, you know, me and my friends would make quarter pipes in my front yard, shitty ones.
Yeah,
you
know? Like launch pads, pretty much. Like,
pretty much, yeah. But there'd be like banks people would find,
yeah,
and tell us about, and we'd ride our bikes to these banks and session them all day, and it was sick. I used to have pictures of me over by, I forget the streets now, but it's like these sick, like, you know, not gravel, but asphalt hills.
Little.
And they were, dude, it was so fun. Like,
yeah.
We would do it as much as we could every single day.
Yeah, and it didn't take much. It wasn't like these killer spots, but just enough to like, you know, and if you had like a little bit of a hill or an incline, I mean, you could just push and, you know, rip, but that kind of gets the head, you know, in the thought process.
Yeah.
Pre-surfing, like you don't know what anything about surfing, but in hindsight, once you do get in it, it's like, oh man, I was kind of already doing that on my skateboard a lot.
Yeah. So my first like sick real skateboard was after that blue board was like a Tony Alva.
And that was like, go to the shop, buy out, you know, piece it all together, like the wheels.
I think I bought it.
At Complete?
Fuck, where did I buy it? Yeah, I put it all together. It wasn't complete. They didn't really sell completes
then. They might have a couple on display, but they, you know, it was kind of like
the,
you know, the rail grabs and nose guard, you know, like whatever you're going to piece together, they're adding.
But I remember seeing skateboards in like not those weird stores that were like department stores, but they were shitty skateboards, but they looked cool.
Yeah.
But I knew from the magazines that they weren't cool.
Alva.
You know? Gator. Alva. And junior high, started meeting other kids. Well, in elementary, my best friend was this guy, Keith Pritchett, and he had an older brother named Earl Pritchett. And these dudes were like, these were the dudes that I hung with.
Yeah.
And we were all fucking like full on skateboarders, got in a lot of trouble with those guys.
Well, I mean, we've talked about it before, and it's like if you do organized sports, you're within that same grade or two, yeah. and there's always parent supervision, and you're not really hanging out with older,
yeah.
dysfunctional or bad influence kids, except in surfing and skating, where yeah. you're kind of surrounded by all these ages.
And looking back at, you know, I never thought of us as poor, but we knew we weren't rich.
Yeah.
You know? The house that we moved in was brand new. We were the first people that lived in it.
Wow.
But it was like 70 grand or something like that.
Yeah.
You know? Like it was way, way,
way expensive then. Back then. Yeah.
Kind of expensive, I guess, back then. But the neighborhood, you know, they, when I look back, they were like, it wasn't ghetto, but it was definitely just above, yeah. not poverty, but just above, you know, low income, yeah. you know?
And this is Long Beach.
Yeah, Long Beach. And then, but yeah, Earl and Keith were like my best friends. And Lakewood Skate Park was there.
How far away from your house?
Pretty far, like a good 45 minute bike ride wow. from my house. Because if you, I'll map it out, but yeah. it's like I lived on Cherry and Harding, which is in between South Street and Artesia Boulevard, right? On Cherry.
Yeah.
And it'd take me like a good half hour, 45 minutes to get from my house on a cruiser to Lakewood Skate Park.
Wow.
So, yeah, I was fully
deck across the handlebars.
I had a little.
Or you have a little.
I had a little thing and little, bungee corded my board yeah. on the cruiser. Like it wasn't a cruiser. I don't think it was a cruiser, but it was kind of like a cruiser.
Yeah.
And then I had a bike like rack in the back.
Okay.
And I just bungee corded my skateboard on there.
City bike with bigger tires.
Kinda, yeah. You know. Yeah. But what was really rad that I remember fondly was every time I got done skateboarding, my sister worked at Love's Barbecue Pit.
Yeah.
And that was the best fucking restaurant. You know?
When you're a kid, everything's good.
You're a kid. And Love's was like, you know, hamburger, steaks.
Ribs, chicken. Yeah. yeah.
Barbecue. Like, it was delicious. Right? yeah. And my sister worked there. So after I'd fucking skate all day, be hungry, ride by, free food, sit at the fucking counter and just eat free food, and then I would take the barbecue sauce to go and ride my bike and eat barbecue sauce dipping my finger
in. You're such a pile.
And then I started surfing in like seventh or eighth grade.
And who introduced you to that?
Just circle the same of friends. Yeah.
At summertime, they're like, hey, let's go to the beach.
And yeah. So McKinley was my elementary school.
Yeah.
And I had to take a bus there from my house, right? It was on the other side of like towards Paramount, really. And then I don't know why I went there because Grant, there's a elementary school by my house, but the dividing line was Cherry or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And then junior high was Hamilton Junior High. And so there I met way more skateboarders and wannabe surfers, right?
Yeah. Because it pulled from a bigger area.
Yeah.
You know,
just like here, you yeah. know, all the elementaries go to this junior high and then, or you know what I mean?
It's more regional at the junior high and then, you know, even bigger at the high school.
Like yeah.
you have to.
And at that time, like Hang 10, OP was a shit. Lightning yeah. Bolt was a shit. Like those brands were like, you had to wear that. And I got introduced to the Mr. Zog's t-shirts.
Mm. Sex wax.
And the ponchos.
Yeah.
The Senor, Mexican. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. What were they? They're Senor Lopez or something like that?
We were going down to Mexico a ton. So we were just buying them at the border. Yeah. I don't know. And Huaraches. I want a pair of Huaraches. They're the worst yeah. shoes ever. But they just seemed really cool.
But yeah, then like we would custom order vans.
Yeah.
You know?
I just drove by the one on fucking Westminster and Beach Boulevard, and I pointed it out to JJ. I'm all, that's where we used to come up and get our custom vans. And yeah. I'd get like a tropical print and then like a checkered print, you know, like,
yeah, it was cool. Cause if you remember, a lot of those vans were custom made buildings that looked like shoeboxes, van shoeboxes. At least the one that I remember.
Yeah, mine's a little more generic than one we went to, but yeah.
Yeah, this I've one that was on, I think it was on like Lakewood and Bellflower or something like that, or Delamo.
Yeah.
I forget where, but I remember going in there going, oh my God, I'm going to order some Vans, you know? Like that was a big deal.
And I remember the price, and I think they were in the mid-20s for like a regular, and it was like 30, it was like 10 extra bucks to get a custom, which wasn't that bad.
And like slip-ons and shoelaces were like, you know, you trip because like, what am I going to get? Slip-ons?
Yeah.
You know, like, am I going to get slip-ons this time or am I going to get, you know?
Yeah.
Am I going to get laces? And then everyone had two-tones, right?
Two-tones, for sure.
And then when you do like custom colors, you'd be like, whoa. And then when you had a girlfriend.
She'd mark them up along the right and the
remember?
Inside.
Yeah. Remember how big of a deal that was?
Yeah.
Where people used to write on the side of their shoes.
Yeah. Because you had a white canvas that's probably an inch and a half all the way.
Linden,
you know.
Plus whatever.
Yeah. Designs,
or
hard.
Loves,
yeah.
Or Surfer's Rule.
Yeah.
Like. That's what was like, I remember, and people wearing fucking necklaces, puka shells, and shit.
Fucking
like
shark tooth.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, skateboarding. So in like seventh or eighth grade, freaking somebody said, let's go surfing. And I remember I wasn't that good at it. Like,
Were you pumped? Like it was summertime.
I was pumped. It was summertime. And I was pumped, and I can kind of surf.
Yeah.
I was kind of surfing, but it was, I really couldn't, I didn't progress, you know, seventh, eighth grade. And then I think the summer of ninth grade, I'd started skateboarding quite a bit and skating Lakewood Skate Park quite a bit. And that summer of ninth grade, it turned on. And I remember the day that it turned on.
So what board did you, maybe was it the board?
So it was.
The first time you went out, what board did you guys share? What was it?
I don't remember the first boards, but I remember the board that.
You got good at?
Yeah. It was a purple lightning bolt with a white lightning bolt.
Purple with a white lightning bolt.
And my sister took us, me, I think Earl and Keith and this guy, Gabe Anaya, we fucking go to Bolsa Chica, late summer, right? So there's no black ball.
Yeah.
And there's like nobody out but us. And I remember this board, and I remember the first wave of that session, I stood up and started going down the line. And I was like, what the fuck? This is it.
Like you hooked and trimmed parallel to the beach and not going straight in the white water.
And I was probably, I was pumping too.
Yeah.
And it was a single fin purple lightning bolt.
But just, you're like.
And I hate single fins.
This is so much easier. It's smoother. It's like, I go faster.
Yeah. So then I think that was like the summer of eighth grade. And then ninth grade, I was a fucking surfer and skateboarder. But
surfing was,
And we would fucking ride our bikes. And I told the story.
Yeah.
Every chance we get, weekends and summertime, we would ride from Cherry and Harding to Seal Beach Jetty. And it would take us 2.5 hours.
It's so wild.
And I had a shitty 10. I remember having a shitty 10 speed that had a right-hand brake and no brake on the left. But that was cool because I would hold my board. We didn't have board racks.
Your towel, put the padding so you didn't ding your board.
I don't know what I did, but like we barely, we went to the beach every day with $1.50, and that $1.50 would buy me a bag of Doritos, a Snickers bar, lemon creams, and a Coke.
Fuck.
And that would hold us over pretty much the whole day and come home.
And Seal was the spot.
Seal Beach was just the farthest we could go.
That is so wild. Like, I mean, we talk about, you know, the looseness of growing up and not, you know, the parents are like, oh, I'm going to go over to, you know, Billy's house down the street or wherever. And, oh, okay, cool. Oh, we're going to go to the park. Hey, we're going to, you know, each time you tell them you're going somewhere, It's farther and farther and farther.
What's crazy is that did your kids ever play ditch'em?
Dude,
did you play ditch'em?
Damn right.
Fuck yeah.
Dude.
Like, we played ditch'em. And I remember, it was like groups, right? Like teams of ditch'em.
Yeah, we set perimeters because we were on these big north, south, east, west blocks. Okay, you can't cross the street. Anything within the block, fair game.
Yeah.
Roofs, backyards, like wherever.
So there's two hiding places that were legendary for me. One of them, that they never found me, I hid in the ice plants. Just like laid in the ice plants.
Wow.
On the street.
Yeah.
And we won because they never found the last man standing.
Yeah.
And then one time I climbed up a telephone pole.
Dude. So going back to that, we had a friend who went up a flagpole and he slipped and caught his arm.
Holy shit.
The tie, whatever you call it. Yeah, whatever that
whatever is. Whatever the metal things they climbed up on.
No, like it's the rope, the flag rope, you know?
Okay,
it's kind of like a little horse, you know, thing that sticks out. Where you wrap the...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
And he slid down and he caught his arm and he was hanging and it was like...
Through his bicep?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was gnarly. And then fucking a couple of years later, I think his name was David. I don't know. I have to ask my brother. Fucking two years later, like he had the
same guy.
Same guy did it again. Did it again.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, just doing derelict shit. You know, and I don't know if the first, like, if it was close to a roof and he jumped off and he was trying to slide down it, but like, yeah, I remember having a really good hiding spot and then not wanting to expose it when they couldn't find you. Okay, it's over, and you didn't want to like blow your secret spot.
Yeah,
you know,
so you can hide there again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good.
One thing I got to talk about was crazy. So we would do jump in people's backyards, right? Yeah. Like we would just trespass in people's backyard.
Yeah. Everywhere. Nobody was home back then anyways for the most part.
But... And dude, these dudes found a greenhouse of weed, right?
Wow.
Some backyard. And it was like a pro greenhouse.
This is like 70s shit.
Yeah. And freaking we rampaged it. And it took everything.
Oh my gosh.
And our friend.
Was this close to your guys' home?
It was in the net. It was in Earl and Keith's track.
Oh shit.
So. It was so crazy. You know how people had campers and they put their camper shells in their driveways?
Yeah.
When they didn't use them?
Yeah. Sometimes they're on like they're sticks like on so stilts. They could just drive on and put it on and off.
Yeah. Yeah. So Earl and Keith's dad had a camper shell.
That's where he hit
and
it
that
off.
Was our clubhouse too. And fucking, dude, we had trash bags full of weed.
How did you burn an apple or with the dude, with the toilet paper roll with the
I don't even know and I don't even know what happened to it, but we had like eight hefty bags of weed.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. You had no idea what to
do.
Oh
dude.
They didn't we were
like
it.
That was like, you know, 7th or 8th grade.
That's so wild.
Yeah. We were crazy.
Dude. Would you pick up a clothes then by then?
No.
No.
Didn't find clothes until high school.
Yeah.
But tried smoking and all that. Didn't dig it.
No.
But we were, you know, not that we condone this, but we were drinking at like 6th, 7th grade.
Wow.
Yeah, we were partying.
That's gnarly.
We, dude, we had this dude. His name's Humberto. And Humberto's dad owned a liquor store.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So easy. It was too easy.
Easy picking.
Yeah. And the first... beers we drank were Mickey's Big Mouths.
Of course.
Yeah.
That or...
And they were so gross.
Or the Colt...
Colt 45.
45 and Molsch... what was the other one?
Yeah.
Dude, horrible.
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 Like, I don't know why or how that was
It just looked cool because it was big bottles, big old mouth, whatever. Yeah. It was just... And it was cheap. We're like, well, I guess we go to the cheap... You didn't know.
Yeah.
So bad.
But going back to... The skate park, Lakewood Skate Park, was so fucking cool because there's an arcade there.
Yeah.
You know, and watching, we'd see pros there every once in a great while. you know. I saw Christian Assoy there, you know, when he was like super young.
Well, there wasn't a lot of parks around. I'm sure those guys were
just
bored.
There's another one that we didn't go to that much. It was called Shady Acres, and that was in Long Beach. Like, but anyways, yeah, surfing. I bought a freaking garage-made twin fin from a dude across the street. His name's Tony. I forget his last name. I still see him every once in a great while.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think he might follow us on Insta. But Tony Schaefer, not Schaefer, that was another friend of mine. Tony something. But
so he was making boards.
I don't think he made it. I bought it off him.
Okay.
I'll tell you another crazy story too. I think it was like summer of 8th going into 9th. We used to take the bus to the beach too.
Yeah.
And I had my Tony Alva board got stolen.
Mm.
And I bought a Steve Olson board. And the gas station across the street, my friend Tony that I bought a board from later, but this is 8th or 9th grade. And freaking, I gotten off the bus barefooted, just board shorts and my skateboard, right? And I start skating across the street, and Tony was working. It was a gas station. He's pumping gas, and he hears, he goes, I heard this thud, and it was like the loudest, like dead thud. And he turned around and he saw me flying like 10 feet in the air backwards and land in the middle of the street.
On your head, on your shoulder, on your feet?
I don't know. But
you got nailed.
Yeah. So I was crossing the street to my house.
And you're like looking at him or whatever?
No, he didn't see me.
Oh.
I mean, I don't know if I said hi to him or not. He just heard the noise and then saw somebody flying into the middle of the street. So this car, okay, you know how, here's an intersection, right? And it's Cherry's not like a big wide thoroughfare, right? It's two lanes each way, right? And at the light, you know, people turn right at the very, you know, you can just barely fit. Well, this dude, it was a hit and run. This whoever
couldn't see tried the other cars.
Well, not only that, but they tried to like bypass everybody. The guy was in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, just enough for the car to come through, you know, almost crossing the street on my skateboard. And the fucking guy hit me. I flew. My friend Tony heard and he saw me flying through the air. He goes, the way the sound and the height and you're like hitting the asphalt. He goes, I thought you were dead.
Oh my gosh.
And then that the car, it was a hit and run. And he said he saw the car like pull up to this one, I forget what business was. He pulled in, like looked, and then bailed. And they never caught the guy. So how's this? He goes, he's like, everyone's shocked and like, you know, getting ready to like come to me, you know, come to my rescue. And he goes, he's like, everyone's in shock. I'm holding the gas pump. And all of a sudden, dude, you get up and you walk, you know, you walk, grab your skateboard and you walk to the, and sit down on the corner. And how's this? I'm bleeding, you know, and the fucking ambulance comes and like my sister's at home. She's the only one home. She starts screaming and the paramedics or whatever look at me and they're like, well, we can take you to the hospital, but it doesn't look like anything's broken. Right. And I decide, I'm like, nah, let's not go.
Yeah.
And then later on, I'm like in pain and my mom takes me to the hospital to emergency and I've got a broken collarbone.
Oh my God. You're just in shock and your endorphins probably kicked in where it wasn't so bad.
So,
but they didn't even like check you out that good, I guess.
No. And what was a trip is Tony goes, dude, he goes, because I had this huge like chest bruise, right?
Yeah.
broken collarbone. He goes, dude, I remember when the guy drove, like parked, the side view mirror was hanging off. So I knocked the side view mirror off.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. With my fucking chest.
Probably did a McTwist in the air.
Yeah. So anyways, that was a crazy story.
So just collarbone, a couple collarbone, bruises, cuts.
Like, yeah.
Some like scrapes and
face rash. Like,
dude, that could have been.
Because I was barefooted with no clothes on, but board shorts. Wow. Coming home, coming off a bus.
And your parents like freak out. You're never going anywhere ever again. Yeah.
But a month later, I'm back skateboarding, surfing.
So you talked about how your mom kept you busy, you know. And, oh my gosh. And you had other extracurricular activities.
Yeah. So one stupid fact. When I lived in Artesia or Cerritos,
yeah,
our neighbor, his kid's name's George, he played the accordion.
The accordion.
Yeah.
For those that probably don't even know what that is.
It's a squeeze box.
It's a squeeze box music. With a little keyboard.
It's the stupidest, most embarrassing.
It's not a guitar, drum set, anything. So, like saxophone.
So my mom said, yeah, you should play accordion. I go, hell no. I'm not going to play the accordion. I'll play the guitar. And I'm like, I'll do anything. I'll play drums. I'll play the guitar.
Yeah.
I'm not going to play accordion. Come home one day. There's an accordion teacher. I'm like, Mom, what the heck? You know, I don't want to play this. And she's like, no, it's your introduction. You're going to learn notes on the accordion and we're going to get you a guitar later.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. 12 years later.
12 fucking years.
Yeah.
You played that.
Yeah. I Filipinos are weird, right?
Yeah.
So I started in third grade and I was really fucking good.
Yeah.
We would have these summer
musical like
musicals, but then there was a summer like accordion
recitals.
Accordion competition. And it was
that fucking popular that they actually
it was dude, it was you would be blown away. So it was like a convention.
Do you have ribbons and trophies of this shit?
Bro, yes.
Yeah.
So this...
I think I've seen one, actually.
The Accordion Federation of America or something like that, right? Where people from all over the country compete, you know, they do their... They all get a song and they all do their best at it, right? Yeah. And in this particular... From what I remember in the competition, it was like royal classes. Prince, Duke, Earl, Queen. You know, it's like those were the... Your age would be that category. And I did that fucking forever.
All the way through.
Yeah. And I think I won a couple, you know, out of 30, 40, whatever.
Does your coach like help pick a... You just pick a song or do they have requirements? Like,
well,
you know?
I think the federation picks a song and everyone plays that song
so
to the best
up,
of the yeah
match up.
And that's how they judge you know. And it's crazy, dude. I was really good at it, and because my mom wanted me to do it, I can get whatever I wanted to do it. I would get rewarded for playing the accordion, but I hated it, right?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you a couple stupid embarrassing stories. So I'm like, I don't know, seventh grade, sixth grade. I think it was still elementary school. And on Wednesday nights, I forget, the nights that we did it. It was during the week, accordion class, right? And my mom would take me. And one night, it was Valentine's. And I go, Mom, I'm going to a party, a Valentine's party, because I had a girlfriend, right? And I go to this Valentine's party. I give her directions. She can't find it. And I have long hair, right? And this crazy Filipino lady gets mad at me because she can't find the thing and butchers my hair.
That was your repercussion.
Yeah.
That was your punishment.
Yeah. She fucking chopped my hair. I had to wear a beanie to school for like 2 weeks. That was fucking child abuse,
child
right?
Child abuse. Especially in that impressionable girlfriend.
Bro.
Like you're a freaking surf rat, skate rat.
Yeah. It was so gnarly. Like it was traumatizing. I'll never forgive her for that. I laugh at it now.
Yeah.
Right? But
what doesn't kill us makes us stronger.
Yeah. But, you know, I never played sports. I never played soccer, baseball, football, none of that, right?
Yeah.
Played soccer just on the field during PE. But so now I'm going to fast forward to high school, right?
Yeah.
I'm still playing. I play fucking accordion until in 12th grade.
That's so nuts.
Right?
Did they have...
And I kept it a secret from my friends.
Yeah, you weren't playing at school. I wasn't like, in the orchestra.
No.
Or, yeah.
Fuck no.
Yeah.
But she, my mom was crazy. She would want to... you know, when I asked her, because I got kicked out of the house, I had to run away from home
because you're
to finally quit it.
Yeah,
you know, and even like when I ran away from home and came home, she was like, "Well, you're gonna come back and play the court." I'm like, "Oh, I guess I'm not staying."
Yeah,
you know, that's how yeah. bad it got, right?
Yeah.
So, anyways, in 10th grade, I got gymnastics.
Yeah, I was just about to ask, like, what other sports? Because I know you...
That's the only thing I did, right?
Gymnastics.
So, and the only reason why I took gymnastics...
Get out of PE or something?
I don't know why, but some of my good friends were doing it. And for shits and giggles, I said, screw it, I'll do it. And then...
You got it. Loved it.
It was weird. I fully got into it. And the gymnastics teacher, Mr. Mills, taught German, too. And he goes, hey, you should take German. And I loved it. Like, I learned...
You're a nerd.
Yeah. I loved
but that, I mean,
learning that language.
Yeah.
And I learned it pretty well. And then with the gymnastics, I don't know what... This teacher was really cool.
Yeah.
So it made me want to be a better gymnast. And it was only 10th and 11th grade... Because they got rid of that program in my senior year. But, like, I still surfed. I still skateboarded. But then I got an accordion. But I really got into gymnastics. My 10th grade year, I made, like, more league finals, CIF, whatever. Didn't win anything. But my 11th grade year, I won everything.
What did you do? The rings,
all
the
around.
Balance, like your
all around it's means
like, it's
everything.
Like, it's like track and field. You got it. You do the
but my best
long jump,
and I kind of got serious because I went in the summertime, Long Beach City College Long Beach City. We would train in the summertime.
Yeah.
So I would go after school or whatever and train, and ended up being more league champ, and CIF champion. Two.
Look at you.
In my 11th grade.
You little jumping bean over there.
But yeah, my best events were parallel bars.
And the rings?
No, I hated rings. Parallel bars and the vault and floor.
Vault looks so sketchy.
Vault is gnarly.
It looks so sketchy.
I've eaten shit quite a bit. High bar is gnarly.
Yeah. No.
High bar, the scariest, gnarliest wipeout I had was on the high bar.
Yeah.
And it was, I think I've told it before, but because you're fucking going, you're holding on with your hands and you're flying
around. Yeah.
And front side, back side. Yeah. And I had the wipeout that I had a blister on one of my hands and flying and, you know, I let go at the apex of the fucking turn. And I went so high in the sky.
Bell up.
And like was almost landed on my head. But luckily I balled up and freaking didn't break my neck. But yeah, that was fun. But what pisses me off is my mom never went to a meet.
Wow.
Yeah. But she's always working.
Yeah.
The lady never, like I was a latchkey kid.
Yeah.
You know, my dad...
He worked nights or something, right?
He was a guard, yeah.
And then...
And he would sleep all day, fucking work at night. So I never had any supervision. My mom would leave at like 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. Wouldn't come home till like 7 or 8 at night, you know,
yeah.
for years. So I would just do whatever the hell I wanted. I didn't have... You know, you guys used to have to check in.
Yeah.
Call your parents and go, I'm going to be over here, be home. Like I didn't have that.
Yeah.
Like, I would go, I would leave my house Friday and come home Sunday.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, how's your weekend?
Yeah.
Because Filipinos didn't know how it worked here, you know?
You'd just be gone.
I'd just be gone.
I would at least leave a note like, hey, here's some numbers of kids I hang out with. This is their house number and the parents' names, yeah. You know? Like, write it down. But yeah, pretty much be gone.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But yeah, surfing, that's where high school definitely surfing became more and more, especially after I stopped doing gymnastics.
Yeah.
There was two dudes that really got me into surfing. This guy named Larry Gack, who I still see at the Cliffs every once in a while. And that's Dennis so rad. Kildall, who I still see every once in a while. He doesn't surf as much as he used to.
Yeah.
But these two dudes were the dudes that I went to Trestles with for the first time.
Wow.
Yeah. And we'd go to Mexico and like, you know.
Yeah.
But Larry worked at Love's.
With your sister?
No.
Oh, just different.
He worked at one in the fucking, in the South Bay.
Did you ever hit up the Bob's Big Boy back, right off as Firestone? DeLamo and Firestone? Yeah.
Bob's Big Boy was really good back then.
It was so good.
So good. But Larry, dude, he drove a Pinto, a yellow station wagon Pinto.
The little curved windows.
Yeah. You know, he had like bubble windows.
Bubble windows. Yeah.
But the dude, he was so funny because he was a full on like, he was a poser, but he was into it.
Yeah.
But he was like a punk rock into the GBH. Remember that? And he would wear the fucking thing. Like, he would have earrings in his nose, or nose rings. He would wear chains. He'd wear freaking, like, the plaid, like, pants.
Yeah. The,
like, full punk rocker.
With the Doc Martin shoes.
Yes, like, Doc Martens. Yeah. You know, ripped up, like, t-shirts and shit.
Isn't that weird when the punk scene came on? Like, how, you know, because there's, like... That and like the heavy metal hash kind of like they kind of came out, you know, like
all at the same time.
Same time, yeah. And even the emu kind of Depeche Mode, yeah. You know, whatever you call those. It was a very.
I kind of thought I was punk rock for a little bit, but you know, like it was. I wasn't a full on like into it.
Yeah,
music wasn't. I wasn't like very into.
Yeah,
it.
I think you listened to everything. You know?
We did, but dude, like parties in Long Beach. Yeah. I personally had the best parties that I'd ever gone to in my life. And a lot of my friends would be like, dude, remember your party? The cops.
You would throw parties at your house.
Yeah. Oh, I'd kick my parents out. And I'd have, seriously, bro, like my house, and parties back then wouldn't get broken up.
No.
People would leave at like 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning.
So crazy.
We'd have keggers.
Yeah.
You know, they were in high school, it wasn't my girlfriend, but she's a girl that was my girlfriend, and she was in a sorority, and the first party I threw was for this sorority, and it was the biggest party that anybody fucking ever seen.
And how did you promote? Just word of mouth? Whatever. Same old thing. Like Lyndon's house this weekend, yeah. You know?
So, bands. So picture this. Across the street from my house was a Volkswagen garage.
Auto shop.
And it was huge, right? It's a big building, huge parking lot, full of cars for my party.
Yeah.
My street, the next block, and then across the street, the gas station, full of cars, a party at my house. The cops come. I had like 3 or 4 ragers with bands and shit. Like it was ragers. And the cops were always cool. Like, everybody go. So one party I'm at gets broken up by the cops. And I'm walking out the door, and the cops are at the door. I'm not making this up, but the cop's like, man, this is almost like that kid Lyndon's house.
What?
I swear to God. And I walk out and they look at me and they're like, Lyndon! How funny that you're here, you know? Like
So this wasn't your house, it was just another party.
There's another party in Long Beach, like across town.
But you've been known to have these types of parties.
Yeah, because they'd been to my house, broken up the party.
And these guys were like
Yeah. I swear to God.
These guys think they're one up in linen. Yeah.
So, wow. Going fast forward, 12th grade, it was all about surfing.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, started driving, all that. I forget what board. Oh, I remember getting a Wind and Sea board.
Wind and Sea.
Yeah.
Thruster, twin
thruster.
Okay.
Glass on fins. It had almost like a Joey Buran airbrush with a star in the middle. I think Joey Buran had something like that.
Yeah.
But I bought it at Wind and Sea. That was off of PCH.
Yeah.
That thing worked insane. I forget what grade that was. That was like 11th or 12th grade. And sheesh, my first job was working at a veterinary. And that's why I hate cats.
Why would you go work at a veterinarian? Was it
because one of my good friends worked at a veterinary and he said it was cool, right?
Oh my gosh.
And I go, okay, I'll try it.
Like wash.
I lasted like a week and a half because I was in charge of cleaning the kennels and shit, right?
Oh my gosh.
And these dogs would fucking freak out. The cats would like want to scratch you. And
yeah.
So I lasted literally like a week, right? It sucked. And then I get the best job, one of the best jobs of my life right after that. And it was a place called Rome's Deli, right? It was a local hangout for after school and like after football games, people would come there.
Sandwich shop or more like a delicacy with like specialty?
Think.
Lucci's? No?
Think Pizza de Oro or Massimo's, but bigger.
Oh, okay.
And it was sit down, like, you know, sit down dinners. We made pizzas, sandwiches, you know, lasagna.
Sick. Yeah, free food.
Oh, dude, it was awesome. So when I first started there, I was the cleanup kid. I would
bus only. Boy, but
no. I would clean the kitchen and the dining room, like, you know, pick up and like hose the fucking floor, and that was only like an hour and a half of work. And I did that for like 1 or 2 months. And then I became like a guy in the kitchen. Right. And then after you're the guy in the kitchen, then you were like in the front and whatever. Right.
Yeah.
And I think I worked there all throughout 11th and 12th grade. And it was the best. We would rage, dude. There's two owners. One was an older dude. His name was Wayne. And on Saturdays, these guys would flip flop. Right. Alternate Saturdays. Yeah,
switch it up.
And the other guy's name is Jim, who partied and sold
stuff on the side. Like a true Italian.
Yeah.
Place.
Yeah. He would play porn in the back, reel to reel.
Wow. OG.
OG pervert, right?
Yeah.
So, anyways, on his gym Saturdays, he would just split, right?
Yeah.
So it'd be me and my friends working and partying all day. Giving out free food and just like, and it was, dude, the food was super good. And we had like beer on tap.
Yeah.
Walk-in fridge with the coolest beers. Remember Grolsch?
Grolsch, yeah. You pop the
ceramic
lid.
Top. Yeah. Dude, we drink those for free.
Fancies.
In 11th and 12th grade.
Oh my God. I mean, when you're on budget, you're always trying to freaking... Yeah, get freebies in restaurants. Everybody worked. I mean, we definitely took advantage of any friend that had like worked at a food restaurant.
And dude, like, we kind of had a lot of cool things, perks with friends like that kid Umberto that had the dad's liquor store.
Yeah,
there's this. Okay, remember drive-in theaters, right? Drive-in movie
theaters.
Those
were the band. We'd have to hide because we didn't want to pay the $3 per person or whatever.
Yeah. So, dude, we had this guy. I think his name was Ted. I can't remember. But he worked at a dairy, right? Like a dairy liquor store.
Yeah, the
drive-thru.
Altadena.
Yeah. Yeah, the drive-thru style, right? I think it was at Altadena.
Yeah.
And that was our hookup was Ted. We'd give him $5. And we get like 2 cases of beer.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, chips, fucking jerky.
Hit the hostess rack.
hostess, like everything. And then we'd give him $5 and then he'd give us change back.
It's kind of like what happened at McDonald's. Like, you know, so when I worked there, people, same thing, would be like, just money's exchanging, but it's just to make it look like they're buying stuff. And
then we'd rage at the fucking watch movies at the drive-thru.
Yeah. Drive-thrus were fun.
Oh, my gosh.
Super awesome.
Long Beach was sick. So, and I was a surfer, right?
Yeah.
And Jordan had no surfers. There was like six of us. Seven of us.
That's still pretty impressive for, like, you know, but...
Kind of. So my 12th grade year, I decide I want to go to Millican and be with more surfers, right?
How far away are those two? Get, like,
I had to live with my cousins. They lived off of Studebaker across the street from that park.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
El Dorado Park.
Yeah.
And anyways, I went... And met Gus Buckner there.
Yeah.
And him and I became super good friends. We started a freaking club. But the school was all jocks. And literally, like, we became a thing. Our club became huge. And the sorority girls wanted to hang out with us. And the football dudes got pissed. And one party that we had, the football jocks came, broke it up, and said we were done.
That's crazy.
It's a true story.
Like
wanted to kick
like
our...
Threat, yeah, like, yeah. We're going to fucking kick your ass because you're taking all the chicks and you guys are having cooler parties than
this
us.
This happened, and I went back to Jordan. I'm like, fuck this place.
Yeah.
So I went back to Jordan, and I'm glad because Jordan was cool.
Yeah.
You know? But, so going to... My first ever job in the industry was with Ed Sakel and Bullet Surfboards.
So you've done all this other just odd end jobs.
Yeah. And I worked at it wasn't like a Costco, but kind of like a
price
kind of
like a
Fed
Costco.
Co? Yeah. But it was even like
lower grade.
Yeah. Lower grade. And I was a smart kid. I got straight A's one semester in 12th grade, but I never like tried.
Yeah.
I never applied myself. School was never my thing. Right.
I mean, I think it's hard when you have all these other interests and they force you to have, you know, these curriculum and you know, these classes and some you really like. Like, I mean, there was like government or economics or geology, you know, whatever.
I was great with languages and zoology.
Yeah.
And biology and science. Like, I was great with that. Like, you know how in zoology where they put the fucking, they had the overhead projector and then they go, you know, the teacher would go, what's this animal? I'd be like, blah, 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 blah. I would know all the animals. And like, he would stop calling on me because I would be the only guy raising my hand. But anyways, yeah, we go to, you know, didn't have the money to go on surf trips and stuff, but we'd go to Mexico and like little trips, you know. And when we talked to our guests about going to like going from Seal to Bolsa to Huntington, like, and honestly, like, I remember certain people and certain waves growing up going, holy shit, that guy fucking rips.
Yeah.
And I hate to say this, Dean Quinn.
Fuck, he ripped.
Dude.
Yeah.
I remember watching this guy in the summertime ripping.
For sure.
Back in the day. And Bud, I didn't see Bud that much, but I remember seeing Dean Quinn ripping. And I don't think you were around. You were too young.
Yeah.
You know, when I was in high school. But what was I going to say? But yeah, so I was a pretty decent surfer, right?
Yeah.
And then this kid somehow stumbled upon Sakel. Sakel had this surfboard factory off of Paramount, off of Cherry, but way down towards Downey Paramount.
Yeah.
Right?
It's crazy.
And he found him and then he told us and he's like, fuck, let's go down there. I want to introduce you guys. And we went, and he kind of sponsored us. Yeah. You know, I think I was in 12th grade, you know?
So you went from like the Win and See, did you get any other boards between then?
Or no, like I had that garage board, and then the Win and See, and then I think the Seikel.
Okay, that's rad. Because...
Oh, no, you know what? I did buy one board from Eldorado Surf and Sport, and it had a Maui and Sons logo on it.
Wow.
And I think Paul Burke shaped it.
Crazy.
Yeah.
What wetsuits were you wearing?
Because there wasn't all...
Yeah, well, of course. They were all shitty, but like... What was a brand? Because it was either Victory, Alita O'Neill. Those were kind of like the big ones.
It was like...
And Body Glove.
Body Glove was like one of the first suits that I had.
Yeah.
And it wasn't great. So anyways, I meet Ed. Ed kind of sponsors us, right? And then, you know, I was doing odd jobs growing up, at that warehouse. It was like a construction site kind of warehouse thing. Yeah. And then he goes, yeah, you know, I'm going to open up a shop someday in Huntington.
Wow.
And I was like, well, shit, you know, like, I don't think he even had a car, right? And he opened up the shop, and I would ride a motorcycle. I had a 90cc or whatever. A 90cc, like a small, like,
yeah,
step above a moped.
Like a four stroke or...
A 90cc, a two stroke 90cc.
Two stroke, yeah, sorry, yeah.
But anyways, from Long Beach to fucking Bolsa and Hyle.
Sketchy.
Yeah. That was my first surf industry job.
And when you got, like, so he, Ed's, you know, he's got this little factory, sponsors you guys, like, what, like, did your surf, you got a board that's probably right size, because Ed knows, you know, like, right size, did you get, like, a specific air spray out of the mag that you knew, or?
I don't think I got sprays, because he had all kinds of logos.
All kinds of lambs that you could kind of...
Because Ed, you know, glassed all the ETs and like he did a lot of boards.
Yeah, he was a surf factory.
Yeah. But we would get like Catch It logos and Body Glove logos. Yeah. Like, that was...
Because I remember going into shops and like, you know, they had sticker counters and they actually had lamb too, you know? Yeah. And like people were just like, yeah, you want to put a logo on your board? Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. But, so the shop opened, I can't remember if it's like right after high school or during high school.
Yeah.
I think it might have been right after high school. And it was a trip because he put a shaping room in the back and he couldn't get any brands, you know?
Yeah.
Like all he could get was Backdoor from Rocky Sabo had a shop down in San Juan Capistrano or something like that. Rockies.
Yeah.
And he would get like Catch It. He would get
Sundeck.
I don't think Sundeck was around yet.
Not yet.
Or not yet, but it wasn't around anymore. But it was like Catch It. He would get Body Glove. He would get Gotcha. You know, it was all Backdoor stuff.
Yeah, still did.
Yeah, Body Glove. But it was funny because I met Troy Eckert there. Chet Thomas, Ryan Thomas, they all lived in that area.
The Marina High School kind of crew, because it's over in that, you know, north end of Huntington.
Yeah, but it was cool, you know, like
you build it, they will come, you know, even like off the beaten path. Because I mean, now Seikel has a shop on, you know, Main Street. It's been there for 20, you know, something years.
But. So from there, that store, you know, we kept getting decent brands, and dude, we went from $0, right? $0 to like, oh shit, we did 500. Oh shit, we did 600. Oh shit, we did 900. And then we moved it from there down to Sunset. Do you remember that?
I remember. Yeah. I don't remember the shop.
Right,
but
off
I remember
PCH. And you know where the Alcoholics Anonymous thing, that bar on, says Thursdays or something like that.
Yeah.
But now there's like, anyways, we moved it down there and it was like night and day, you know, location, location, location.
Yeah.
Like we went from fucking 600 or 700 or 800 being a big day to like a couple thousand.
Yeah.
It was like, whoa, this is amazing, you know? And it was cool. Like we had
cool crew hanging out.
Like, yeah. And when we were starting to get good kids writing for Bullet, you know, like I would design logos for Bullet.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, the team guy, and Gus was riding for Bullet. We got, remember Joey Zintel?
Joey ripped.
Dude, Joey sucked. When I first met Joey,
yeah,
he had just moved here from Florida and he was not a good surfer. And then he started surfing Newport all the time.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he's riding for Quicksilver. Yeah. All of a sudden he's riding for O'Neill. All of a sudden he's got a shot in the mag. All of a sudden he makes it
on to PSAA.
The quarters of the 90 of what Kelly won.
Yeah.
I think he made it to the quarters.
I think so.
Yeah. So we're like, what the fuck?
Was another great surfer who had a crazy good style, Waylon Kong.
Waylon Kong, yeah.
Did he ride for them? Or I forget who he was affiliated.
He was Cooney.
Cooney.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think he ever got a board from us.
Yeah, I just was bringing up.
Remember Micah Pitts? Micah Pitts was riding Bullets for a while.
I saw him at Killer Dana, like,
Just recently?
2 days ago.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to tell him. We got to get him on the podcast.
I know.
That'd be funny.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Then, from there, I'm working at Bullet.
So you graduated. What was your, like, ambitions or just didn't care? Just, I just want to surf and work?
I didn't know what to do. I didn't know surfing was going to be my career either.
Yeah.
I thought I wanted to be a chiropractor.
Yeah.
But when I went to school, my mom's school, to help her set up an exam, I quickly realized it wasn't for me because I would have to touch dead bodies.
That's crazy.
She's like, yeah, go get that arm.
Oh my God.
Go get that jar with the fucking elbow.
What?
And I was like, yeah, that's so ain't for crazy. Me. And I thought I was going to sell insurance.
Because your mom, I mean, she's obviously pushing your kids to kind of like, hey,
yeah, because my sister became
language, like,
yeah,
just
my sister became a chiropractor.
Yeah,
and my other sister became a CPA.
Yeah,
and my brother joined the Navy, and then he was in, he did 8 years in the Navy, and then went to worked in the Postal Service. You know,
yeah,
had a great career in the Postal,
yeah,
Service. But I was like, didn't know what the hell I was doing. So anyways, I got to say something about one of my best friends that passed away.
Yeah.
Rick Wilt. So out of high school, or high school, college, first years of out of high school, we would all be going to Anderson Street. That was the spot.
Yeah.
Like for all the Long Beach, Lakewood surfers, that was our spot every fucking day in the summertime from,
your Tower 2.
Dawn, our Tower 2.
Yeah.
And Kissel would be there. I would see Kissel, Mark Reeder, Bobby Clean, Benny Bigler, Kissel. I already said,
yeah,
Kissel. Bobby. Yeah, so many gnarly surfers that I was like, whoa, these dudes are rad.
Yeah.
And those are the guys I started seeing locally that were in magazines, right? I was like, holy shit, these,
yeah,
guys fucking
full
rip.
Sponsored, like,
yeah,
yeah, guys that,
yeah, they rode for Billabong or Quicksilver, Hurley boards at the time.
Like, but this is the spot.
Yeah. So like me and my friends, you know, that's when I started hanging out with Adler, Steve Adler, rest in peace, and Rick Wilt, rest in peace. All day we would rage on the beach and then freaking rage at night.
Yeah.
Like all the parties were set up on the beach and then we would go to all the parties
just
in Lakewood, beach, Long Beach, everywhere.
Beach,
right?
Bum all day. What do we got? Like you're, you know, throwing out the feelers and everybody knew,
yeah,
something somewhere was going on.
And so cool, dude. We had this girlfriend, Alicia Kalekini. Her mom's white, her dad's Hawaiian. And they were divorced and he still lived in Hawaii and she would go there in the summer times, right? And she's like, you guys should come. And so me and Rick and I saved up money. And I sold his mom a Blaupunkt like pull-out stereo. And she gave me like $200 for it. And it didn't even work. She said she couldn't ever get it work, but she never like asked for money back. But anyways, Rick and I rented an apartment in Waikiki and lived there for a summer.
That is nuts.
And we worked at, I worked like a bunch of different jobs because I kept quitting because I kept surfing.
You didn't showing up there. You're...
I just, if the waves were good, I'd quit.
And where were you guys just all over Waikiki? What, yeah, dude. You had to walk. You didn't get a car.
No, because Alicia had a car.
Okay.
So we got to surf
Diamond Head.
Everywhere. All, yeah. Everywhere.
That's killer.
Rick would work, you know, he was the responsible one. But we had the sick fucking apartment. And we had friends coming, staying with us.
Yeah.
But we were there for the summertime. The Gotcha Pro was going on that summer. And we went to the Gotcha Pro.
It's crazy.
We would surf, sometimes work, play basketball, play fucking tennis. Like,
yeah. The days were long and you had nothing else to do.
Yeah. So back to Bullet. I was working there. That was pretty much my job, right?
Yeah.
And then what's his face? Dave Bach.
Yeah.
Earth Pack.
Sticker Man.
Our sponsor.
Yeah, Earth Pack. So
he
check out the bags.
He had a shop called Leisure, or he had, his business first was called Leisure Time, right?
And that was a spinoff of what his dad was already doing.
Right. But he specialized in merchandise bags.
Yeah.
So anyways, he was selling us bags. And he's like, dude, I can start using some help. You know, why don't you come work with me on your days off? So I was working at that and working at Leisure Time. And then, I don't know why, but we moved to Huntington. I finally moved to Huntington, right? And I'm living with Frank Corona, Todd Moan, Todd Roberts. We're all in like one apartment, right?
That is crazy.
Sleeping on the couch. I don't know if I had a bedroom or not. I might have shared a bedroom. Mm-hmm. And Zintel lived with us too.
Dang.
So
Zintel ripped too.
Yeah. So we're, our friend Todd opened ZJ Boarding House, Todd Roberts.
Which is crazy because he's down here.
He's down here.
And they open up in Santa Monica.
Yeah. He was a rep for a second, right?
Okay.
Remember the brand Platts?
Platts. Yeah.
I Frank rode for Platts and I actually rode for Platts too.
Wow.
So Todd opened up ZJ Boarding House, right?
Yeah.
Santa Monica. And Frank was working there and he's like, dude, you should come work here. Because I started working at Leisure Time during the week.
Yeah.
Because it was more money.
And you're hitting all the shops up and down the coast?
Yeah. Or just answering on the phone and doing odds and end work for his dad.
Yeah.
Like his dad made... yeah. I got to go to game two. But anyways, he it was cool because his dad like kept me busy, you know. Yeah. His dad made Levalore blind samples, so I would have to go to like Chino and pick up like stuff from everywhere, and I would get paid mileage and whatever.
Yeah.
And I work at ZJ Boarding House every weekend, like Saturdays and Sundays.
So yeah, we're just hustling all kinds of
hustling,
yeah,
and not really caring, right?
No.
And then it was killer because I already knew surf retail, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much. But then it was shocking to see how much more business ZJ Boarding House was doing.
Yeah.
Because a big day at Bullet was like maybe $2,000. Like right. That's a huge day.
Yeah.
Back then.
That's like selling a board or two and, you know, and then wetsuits and whatever. Then some clothing. Yeah, it's big.
But ZJ Boarding House? Dude, we're doing $3,000 to $5,000 a day.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck is this? Selling boards, selling board bags, selling wetsuits, selling clothing. And that's when, you know, I started seeing like, whoa, Quiksilver, you know, Billup, like all these brands. And
that you couldn't get.
And seeing it as a business, right? Yeah. Like, wow, this is crazy. So I was doing that on the weekends, working with whatchamacall, Leisure Time with Dave. And then I'm hanging out one day at HSS on 15th Street. And then I think Yogi, right?
Yeah.
Yogi's like, hey, he goes, don't you live here? Why do you work at ZJ Boarding House?
Would you ever hang out at Surf and Sport before? Like a little bit?
Kind of, a little bit. I started, because we lived on 19th.
Yeah.
So I would go there and shoot the shit and whatever, surf out front, and then start going in there. And Yogi goes, why do you drive all the way to Santa Monica when you can just walk out your door and work here?
You're like, I don't know.
I'm like, yeah, okay. So, boom. I got to tell another funny story and then we got to quit. But so instead of going there,
yeah,
I would work at Leisure Time during the week and then HSS 15th Street,
yeah,
Saturdays and Sundays, right? And it was one day, turned into two, turned into three, turned into my career forever.
Yeah.
Right? And I worked there for 12 years. But before we end it, I want to tell the Levi Spike Lee commercial I was in.
Yeah. Do we have time for that?
Real quick.
Okay.
So, and this is, I think, right when I started working for...
So Surf and Sport, now you're surfing out in front at 14, yeah. 15.
But before I was working at Surf and Sport, and even before I was working at ZJ Boarding House, right? I'm working for Leisure Time, and I went to go show Todd samples of the bags for ZJ from Leisure Time.
Yeah.
And he goes, dude, come down. Frank was working there, and he's like, dude, you should come. There's a talent agent that's going to come looking for people for a commercial. And I'm like, sure, why not? I'm going to go there anyway. So this lady interviews a bunch of people in front of the shop, right? And they interview a bunch of people, and they take down my phone number. She's like, okay, well, if we're interested, we'll give you a call, right? And they interview hundreds of people, right?
Yeah.
So if we're interested, here, give me your number. We'll give you a call. I get home. I think it was that day or maybe the day after. Check messages. Lady says, hey, we want you for a second interview. And I'm like, holy shit. And you're going to meet the director in Huntington Beach. And I'm like, killer, at Maxwell's.
Yeah.
Yeah. So freaking.
That's where Duke's is now, but like, yeah the old Maxwell's.
So it was it was like a cattle call. Hundreds of people, right?
And you had no idea. You're just like, hey, you got the call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I find out it's for a Levi's commercial. And I find out it's Spike Lee.
Which is huge at the time.
Spike Lee.
Yeah.
And it was the unbutton your fly things. So at that interview, they videotaped, right? The first one. And they picked me because I said this, I think. She goes, where do you like to surf? And I go, Hawaii. You know? And she goes, how come you like surfing there? And I go, well, the waves are really good. The water's warm. And you don't get hassled by the howlies. And then the girl goes, what's a howley? I go, white people.
Was the lady interviewing a
white person?
Oh, she was white. Okay.
Yeah. So I get there and all these people are trying to getting interviewed at Huntington Beach at Maxwell's, and I said the same thing to freaking Spike Lee when he's like, dude, where do you like to go? And I'm like, oh, I like to go surfing in Hawaii. He's like, and I go, yeah, you know, it's warm, blah, blah, blah. And I can get any wave I want because I fit in and I get hassled by the howlies.
Yeah.
And he starts, and he's like, what's a howley? I'm like, white people.
Yeah.
That's and I think that was the hook that got me in.
Yeah. I mean, obviously your look or, you know, yeah. They needed a, you know, what do you call, they needed a bunch
spectrum,
of different.
Spectrum, yeah.
Yeah. Spectrum of people, but it felt like you're probably not stiff. You're cracking, you know, you're just being.
So they, out loose. Of that, you know, what's funny. Phil Fine is in that commercial with me.
No way.
Yeah. So it's Phil Fine and then two people that didn't surf and then a girl that surfed and then another dude that surfed.
So crazy.
Yeah. We'll end it on that.
Yeah, we'll have to end on that. We'll come back, see what kind of money you made, see if it parlayed you into another Hollywood acting career. But
yeah.
Well, cool. How long do we go?
Hour and 21 minutes.
Hour and 21. We're just scratching the surface.
Thank you, Caballero Pools and Spas.
Phew.
Get loose. Loose is fun. Loose towels.
Yep.
Finless skateboards. Earth Pack.
Bonsai Bowl.
Clear Weather Brand. Murph Electric.
Yeah.
Malachi. If you want to get into the action sports, surf, skate, snow industry, Malachi.com.
You.
Peace.
Murph Electric Bikes, unleash the fun. Use promo code LATENIGHT20 for 20% off any regular price bikes in stock. Join the Murph Mob. Malachi.com. If you've ever wanted to work in the action sports industry, check out Malachi.com.
Schutz.
Schutz is born of co-owner and pro surfer Shane Magnuson's lifelong passion for surf, spearfishing, and the nuances of traditional pokey preparation. Joining forces with co-owner and fellow surfer Chris Slowly and executive chef Davin Waite to bring forward this mad scientist combination of a Maui meets Baja menu with affinity for sustainable and fresh seafood.
Schutz!
In Oceanside and Carlsbad.
Bonsai Bowls, hands down the best bowls, period. 7 locations, 2 in Hawaii, 5 in Southern California. Bonsai Bowls, go get some.
Clearweather is a family-owned footwear brand started by our friends Josh and Brandon Brubaker.
They are driven to create their own path in the corporate sneaker world. Less corporate,
more independent.
Clearweather.
Clearweatherbrand.com.
Shade Sunscreen.
The best sunscreen for all surfers.
Shade Sunscreen. It's been around since the sun. Shade. Sunscreen. FooWax is the best, ickiest, stickiest wax in the game. FooWax.
Late Night with Chalky is supported by Inherent Bummer. Surf entertainment, thoughtful writing, surf videos, music, and fresh hell for the core surf community. Remember, it's not the end of the world. Subscribe and check it all out at inherentbummer.com.
Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed the show. Please give us a 5-star rating and spread the word.
Special thanks to our good friends, James Williams for our awesome artwork and Justin Reynolds for the amazing music.